Hey, this is Daniel Garber for CulturalMind.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. Well, unless you arrived very recently in downtown Toronto, you've probably experienced an encounter with the once ubiquitous character who walks shirtless down Yonge Street, flexing his muscles and wearing boots, shorts, and a Santa Claus hat. He's a reality show waiting to happen, and I'm talking, of course, about Xanta, Toronto's legendary street performer, all-around shock, disturber, and general maniac. But not so long ago, he suddenly disappeared from the streets. What happened? Where'd he go? Why did he leave? Where is he now? Well, to answer these and many more questions is the man who took it upon himself to document his story in a new book just released called Xanta, The Living Legend. So the author of books and comics on arcane topics ranging from mushrooms to street people to stinky pinkies. This cartoonist and illustrator is a bit of an underground legend himself, and I'm lucky to have him here by telephone, the author himself, Jason Kiefer. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Daniel.
So, Jason, start by talking about Xanta. Tell me, what does he look like?
Basically, his outfit was this. He wore a Santa Claus hat, no shirt, shorts, and boots. He was very muscular, went around downtown Toronto doing push-ups. And he would say, yes, 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 and Merry Christmas, not mass, but M-E-S-S. And he would also make kind of like growling sounds, like that sort of thing. So,
what's that? He bends over and makes like, are they farting noises or what are they?
Whoosh. No, those are, he said that they were like hydraulic sounds. So like as he was doing push-ups, he was making like the sound that I guess machinery would make.
Oh, like pistons.
Yeah, like if his arms were machines.
And the push-ups are crucial, right?
The push-ups are a crucial part of the Xanta character.
In your book, you even have him doing these, what do you call it, upside-down push-ups straight up in the air?
Yeah, he would do that.
Did he really do that?
Yeah, against walls, or he would do push-ups on, like, you know, park benches, garbage cans, even do one-handed push-ups.
So this is the character Xanta?
Yeah, the character Xanta.
What is the man's real name?
David Zankai.
And so he can clearly tell the difference between Zankai and Xanta, right?
Yeah, when I interviewed him, he was like very conscious of the fact that what he was doing was a performance.
So how'd you get him to talk to you?
I just emailed him asking if I could interview him to do a comic about him, and he said yeah. So I went to his place.
Oh, so it wasn't on the street?
No, I sort of dramatized the interview.
In the comic book, it has you with a microphone following down the street, but that's sort of a dramatization.
Yeah, because it would have made for a boring comic strip to have me and him sitting at a table for 3 hours. I wanted to have him walking down the street in the story just because that way I could show all the things that he would do as the character.
So what happened to Xanta? How come he's not on the street anymore?
Xanta was slowly displaced from the downtown core by the authorities.
So the police?
Yeah.
And the TTC, is that right?
What's that?
And the TTC?
And the TTC, yeah.
And why?
If you ask him, he says for doing push-ups.
And what do you think?
He was displaced for doing his act.
I don't know if you know, but you are on as a reference on Wikipedia in their entry on street people.
I saw that, yeah.
So you share with me a fascination with the unsung heroes, eccentric, the offbeat street people you see in downtown Toronto that make a city great. What is it about them that fascinates you?
First, I guess it's just that a lot of these people are very different from most people in the city. So they kind of stand out, and I notice them as a result.
Because they're
it is people, you know, like it's individuals, like they truly are individualistic.
And they're cool, and they're interesting, and they're unique, and they are entertaining.
This is just people that, you know, aren't fitting into the mold of like day-to-day business. You know, they're not cookie-cutter people.
Right, and they're part of what makes a city an interesting place.
Yeah, it's the diversity of the city, yeah. It's
So does Toronto as a city accept them? I mean, I can't help thinking that Zanta, if he were in New York or LA, he'd have his own reality show in 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like Toronto is very uptight, and here it's like, you know, oh, we can't have that. So, I mean, I feel like the city needs to grow up, grow some hair on its chest, you know?
It's
very adolescent, like, the attitude here.
So you're an advocate for Zanta?
Yeah. And for, like, all people who are displaced.
Cool.
Downtown. You know, it's not just about him. It's about, for me, it's like the legality of, like, doing that to a person. I view it as being illegal. I think a lot of people would agree with me on that.
Yeah, I agree.
It's something that happens over and over, and it's happening right now. People get displaced from neighborhoods, like homeless people, not for doing anything illegal necessarily. I know of cases of that. So they're doing something annoying, but it's not illegal. People get the police involved, they kick them out of the neighborhood. So that's like maybe a smaller case of that. And a larger case would be like the G20, where we were all displaced from the downtown core illegally. Just because the politicians say it's legal doesn't mean it's legal. That's the big issue for me that no one's really talking about.
What was Zanta doing before he was banned from the downtown to make himself famous?
Well, he was just, he was doing his performance all around downtown. He'd do it, you know, in busy areas like Yonge and Bloor, Yorkville. Yeah, up and down Yonge Street, and then, yeah, the TTC, for sure. A lot of people remember seeing him on the TTC, so he would just get on there and then start doing push-ups. He'd do them on...
But what about through other media?
He used to go on Speaker's Corner, which doesn't exist anymore, I don't think. But for people who don't know, that was a kind of video show where you could go to this booth and put in some money, have your say, and then you might make the cut onto TV. So he used to do that.
And I like the part of your book where you describe how he would run in front of the camera beyond the window for at City TV.
Right, he would also
every
do that,
morning.
Because Breakfast Television used the and City TV used Queen Street as their backdrop. So he would, while they were shooting the show, do his act out on the sidewalk and try and get into their shot, and this caused problems. He wasn't doing anything wrong there. I mean, they're using the backdrop. The street is a backdrop, and, you know, someone's on the street, they're on the street. So he was smart that way. Like, he was using the media to get attention. He would also, like, if they were doing a weather report outside, he would jump into those shots in the background.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and I'm speaking with Jason Kiefer about his newest comic book, Zanta, The Living Legend. So why do you call it a comic? Why do you use the word as opposed to graphic novel? Why do you stick to the word comic for your art, for your work?
Well, okay, I call it a comic book because, first of all, I don't like the term graphic novel because it's like a term that is kind of used to, you know, legitimize comics for people who felt uncomfortable calling them comics. Someone can be like, oh, I'm reading a graphic novel.
So you're
having to say I'm reading a comic book. So I don't like that. It's sort of like paper bagging the fact that you're reading a comic.
Right. So you want your comics to be read by people who are not ashamed to read comics.
Yeah. That's part of it. But then also the term's not very accurate because my book's not a novel. It's more like a biography, if you can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
So
it seems to be a combination interview, biography, geographical charts, history, and sort of popular opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's difficult for me to call it a novel, so a comic book is the easiest thing to say.
Right. You have a denser style, I think, in this one than in one of your previous books. It doesn't look like a cookie cutter perfect computer made panels of tint. This one's denser style, thicker lines, lots of scribbling in the dark parts, more hand-drawn looking. Why did you choose this style for this?
I just wanted to try and get to like a underground feel, a dirty feel. Like those are the comics I like the best.
Are you also trying to capture the sort of the gritty urban style of the characters too?
Yeah, exactly. And even like the claustrophobic nature of the city, like just filling the panels full of lines. And yeah, I was trying to make it, yeah, look gritty and dirty, like there's dirt all over everything.
Yeah.
And it's, there's also a very lot of fun dense. To draw that way. What's that?
It was also very dense. Like, yeah. Like you're saying, so much in each panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never really drawn like that before. I enjoyed it. And, yeah, but I don't think my next project will look like that. It just seemed to suit this one. And it was looser. Yeah, definitely like a looser style.
One thing I really like about comics is that, unlike a movie, you can switch from a realistic scene to a fantasy scene without worrying about special effects, camera work, anything like that. You just say, okay, I'm going into fantasy part. I like the way you did it in this book when you're talking about Xanta's fantasies.
Okay.
So
like when he's describing like... Yeah, things that he's planning on doing in the future, like his Xanta parade or whatever.
Yeah.
I could cut in.
Yeah.
And then have him narrating it.
Yeah. So I think there were just, I think the way you subtly tell fantasy from reality is you have narration panels at the top of every square. Is that right?
Right. Even though it like looks very similar. Like if you just looked at the page, you might think it was just part of this story, like something that happened to him, but yeah, you have to read it, and then you...
So can you tell me what he meant by Baker's Dozen?
Well, he wanted to have a parade with 13 women pulling a two-wheeled chariot that he would ride around downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of like a protest of like the ban from the downtown core and the band from the subway.
Would you call this a plan or a fantasy? Or is there a difference?
What's the difference? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything starts as an idea or in your imagination. So would it be possible? I mean, he could try to do it. He could have tried to do it, but probably would have been shut down. He tried to do Xanta. That was shut down. So
part of your book is calling for people to rise up and save Xanta or bring Xanta back.
Right.
So what do you suggest people do?
I don't know exactly. I just want to get people first thinking about this and talking about it.
That sounds good. Maybe the first thing they can do is get a copy of your book.
Right.
Okay. Well, if you want to know the reality of Toronto, you have to know about Xanta. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks.
So I've been talking with Jason Kiefer about his newest comic book, Xanta, The Living Legend, published by Old Boot Press, which is available at select comic book stores or at jasonkiefer.com. This is Daniel Garber each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, CulturalMining.com.